Well, good Easter Sunday, Calvary Church family. So grateful that you have taken part of your Easter Sunday to celebrate our Resurrection Sunday. He's alive. Said he's alive. Well, I want to jump into our message this morning, and it's entitled Look Again. And as we approach this Easter Sunday, and in some ways, I'm kind of preaching two messages in one, because I want to tie up our final sayings series, looking at the last saying that Jesus said on the cross, but this is Easter Sunday. So I'm going to take us from Good Friday to Easter Sunday, all in this message. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look specifically at verse 46. And as we get into this, what's so amazing, Jesus' last seven statement sayings on the cross, and then on this Easter Sunday, it's great for us to take a moment and look again at what did Jesus do on the cross, and what is Easter really all about? What is this day so special? And for many, their view of God is that he's out looking to condemn you, that God is a God that just loves to try to catch you when you're doing things wrong, that when you make a mistake, and that is far from it. Instead, we see here's a God who cares for you, he loves you, he desires to show his mercy and grace. And over the last couple months, we've been going through these sayings, and Jesus' first saying on the cross, or his last sayings, was really a prayer, and it was, Father, forgive them. And so we begin to see the heart of Jesus. We see the heart of God, the character of God, and how Jesus is really praying and talking to God. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Stacy preached the second to last saying, it is finished, and it was a mission for Jesus. It was his purpose. It was his assignment. And he carried it out. And now we come to the seventh saying, verse 46. And here, let's look at it. It is now, in fact, we'll start in verse 44. It is now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And while the sunlights failed, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last breath. What makes this saying so powerful and so meaningful for us today is that really it demonstrates God's sovereignty. And I want to point out some things, because people can look at the cross and really look at it. They could really come to a moment, and we touched on this in our Good Friday service. You can really approach what Jesus did on a cross with a measure of not just sadness, but you feel like, well, Jesus dies, but you need to understand, Jesus doesn't just die. It isn't that he was weak in the moment and then died. There's actually the very moment, to his last breath, Jesus was in control the whole moment. And so let's go back through, and we see it in this verse here, that, and this is the key part I want you to understand in this last saying, is this: God is in control. God is in control. And maybe you've probably hit periods of your life where it feels like it's anything but like a design, because your life is out of control. You ever had weeks like that, when it just seems like it's never going right? And circumstances in your life just have you feel like you're in a whirlwind. And what's amazing is we can take stock, even in this moment, even in this last moment, Jesus is in control. And if you feel like your life is out of control, maybe it's a financial situation that has you working so hard, decisions that you've made and you regret, but there's debt, and it just feels like the weight of it's collapsing around you. Maybe it's your marriage, and you feel like no matter how hard you try, it just feels like the relationship is so hard to press in to understand each other, and it's out of your control. Maybe you feel that way with your kids. Maybe your kids are rebelling or walking their own way apart from a relationship with God, and it's very difficult for parents. And that weight that you feel, because it's not in your control, it's their choice. Maybe it's pressures at work, and it's just hard to shut off all the pressures in your mind. You can go home. Even though you go home, work is still in your head and your heart. Maybe you got news about a health situation that someone you care about, or maybe you got the news yourself. And regardless of what the doctors say, and it's out of your control because you don't know what the next steps are, here's the wonderful thing. We have a God, and you can anchor your peace in this, that can calm any of these storms. Easter Sunday is a reminder, and what Jesus did on a cross in his final moments is a demonstration that all along in this whole story, our Savior, our God, is in control. And I want you to capture some things here. Let's go back to verse 46. When we're looking at what Jesus has done on the cross, at this point, he's been on the cross, being part also whipped, beaten before. He'd been up over 18 hours. When you think going all the way back to the garden when he was arrested, Jesus was sleep deprived walking into this. He's had nothing to eat or drink. And so you have that whole part on top of this. But notice verse 46, then Jesus calling out with the loud voice. Loud voice. See, what's been amazing as we go through that statement is because of when you think of the excruciating pain that he's going through and all of the other factors that would be going on, it's amazing that a person would have one kind of focused sentence that you could even get out. To have the clarity of mind because of the pain, because of all the other dimensions, the lack of food, the lack of water, the sleep deprivation. What's amazing is even in this last moment, Jesus is able, when you're struggling for air, you're trying at this point where Jesus is at 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, he is calling out yet with a loud voice. And this is one of those moments, be careful when you read your scriptures, just don't read to get to the red letters in your Bible, because you'd miss this part, is Jesus calls out with a loud voice. And when he calls out, what's amazing is he calls out with such a clarity. Jesus is able to, there's a strength in control in this moment. And I want you to draw your attention to this. John chapter 10, as Jesus even foretells of this moment. John chapter 10, verse 17 says this, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it up again. And notice this, no one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. See, Jesus is already letting us know, even at this moment, Jesus is not a victim. And Jesus just doesn't die. And this is what's so important in this last statement, is that we understand and we capture all of this essence, is that he's in total control, and he's choosing God's perfect timing all the way to his final breath. Go back to verse 46 in Luke 23. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father. Again, he calls out to God, and it's just not the God, it's not the eternal God, but it's Daddy, Abba Father. To my Father, I call out. And he continues, and he says this, into your hands I commit my spirit. See, in his dying, Jesus is showing us how to live. So when you're in a situation, and maybe you're here today or watching online, that you're in a moment and you're feeling the pressure of some moments that you can't control, what do you do? See, in this moment, Jesus shows us. And it's what Jesus does in this moment. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And in this moment, Jesus sends his spirit to God. See, he just doesn't die. Later on, you could look at another passage where it talks about the soldiers coming in another gospel account, and they actually were set out because the two criminals on each side of Jesus, they were coming to break all their legs to speed the crucifixion out, which would have been a normal thing for Rome to do during crucifixions. So they actually get there to break the legs, and they break the legs of the two criminals, but they didn't do it of Jesus because Jesus was already dead. And it wasn't because Jesus was weaker than the other two that were by him. It's because Jesus had already sent his spirit to his God, to God his Father. all the way to the end of this moment, Jesus is in control totally of that moment. And so he sends his spirit. And then 3 days later, and this is why we're here today, is 3 days later, he rises from the grave. I sit back and think on an Easter Sunday, can't help but think when I was a new believer, and it's constantly in my head. Maybe you have that, a certain message by a preacher or a pastor that you heard, and some points it just keeps echoing in your skull because you just love it so much. Mine, there was this Baptist professor, his name was Tony Campolo, and I had seen a video of him in our youth group, and so here's this Baptist Bible professor, and he starts talking about Jesus and Easter Sunday, and he starts imitating some inner city churches that he knows, some black folk, and he starts saying, it's Friday. It's Friday and my Jesus is dead on the tree. But that's Friday. He didn't know Sunday was a-coming. So this is where we're at today, folks, is that was Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. And our Savior's alive. And so let's look at this again. Because here's some key facts that you need to know, that you need to walk away from here today, is that as we look again at Easter, what is Easter all about? What was all the facts on that first Easter Sunday morning? Look at with me Matthew chapter 28. We'll start off in verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. For he has risen." And he said, "Come and see the place where he lay." And they go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them there and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. See, as we look at this resurrection, I want you to think about some of the things, the very, very critical things for every single person, Christian or non-Christian, to understand three facts that we can see from this account that's very important for us to consider. First, this is the first fact of Easter, the fact of Jesus' death. He died. He was a real person. And you can settle this in your mind. He's not a fictional character. He was a real person. And I know a lot of people will say, well, of course the Bible's going to say that this is true about Israel, all these different things about Jesus. But here's the thing. You can take the Bible out of it. There was over 500 witnesses, more than 500 people, that have eyewitness accounts of seeing Jesus resurrected. It's staggering. Even when it comes to his death was a public death. It was during Passover weekend, which would typically have close to 80,000 people cramming through the streets, very much, and Jesus' crucifixion was on one of the main streets that led in to the city. And so you had close to many of those 80,000 people that walked by, were around on that Passover day. It's amazing. But here's the part you need to know. This is a fact. Jesus died, but here's the fact you need to know. And what Scripture helps us understand is why he died. Paul tells us this, Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. See, here's the great thing. He didn't just die. He died for you. He died for me. Why? Because we were sinners. The Bible goes on to say, for everyone has sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of God's glorious standard. Every single one of us sin. Every single one of us have done it. And the penalty for sin is death. It's part for every person. And that's what made Jesus's body, his life that we celebrated in communion so important, was Jesus was led a sinless, perfect life in order to be that sacrifice for us, so that when we were eternally lost, he became a bridge to bridge us back to God. And see, this is the amazing part, is it's really the incredible love sent through Jesus to die for us. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. Jesus died, it's a fact. And if he died, why did he die? He died for you, he died for me, that you would come and find forgiveness for your sins and really find a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So the fact is Jesus died. The second fact I want you to see is the fact that Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. The story hasn't ended. Look at verse 1 back in Matthew chapter 28. At the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. The account continues, verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay." So the women go into the tomb. They're expecting to see a dead corpse. See, they were coming, bringing all the incenses, all the spices that would help entomb and basically embalm Jesus' body and finish the process and close up the tomb. In fact, as they approached, they were trying to think in their heads, because they had their agenda that Easter Sunday. How are we going to get that stone moved? Who are we going to have help us? Because there's no way we could do it. And to see them as they approach, not only see the open tomb, but they see that bright, lightning-like, white angel sitting on top of that rock because he had moved it. See, it's an amazing part that we can understand that he's alive. Our Savior's alive. A lot of people, what sadly is, they don't kind of quite make the connection. What's the big deal about Easter? What's the big deal of Jesus living, and does that really make a difference in the world? See, one of the wonderful parts is you have hundreds of testimonies in this room today that Jesus has changed our life. That's why we're gathering. It's what this church is all about, is we are all imperfect people, but Jesus has touched our life. And he wants to do that in your life. In fact, later this morning, not too far from now, because the water's been prepped, we're going to have 11 people that'll step forward in water baptism. They're going to follow Jesus as they're making a public declaration, that step of obedience, because they understand that Jesus died, rose again for them. And he's in the process of transforming their life. So for all those who are being baptized, and even the baptizees, now would be a great time to go change and go get ready, because we're going to be ready to celebrate with you on this Easter Sunday. And this all leads to the third fact of Easter. It's really the part I pray that you will look again as we look again at Jesus' resurrection. And it's this fact, is the fact that Jesus can change your life. He can change your life. He can transform your life. Give you a life that is greater than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. On this Easter Sunday, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. I love this passage. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. See, when you make your commitment to Jesus, he comes in with his power, resurrection power. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Wow. Can you imagine that? How much power Have you ever taken a moment just to ponder on that? How much power does it take to resurrect a crucified dead body? How much power does it take? Tell you what, it's a whole lot more than our defibrillators that are on the back wall back there. And that resurrection power, according to Scripture, tells us this, that when we invite Jesus into our life, he sends his Holy Spirit to empower our life. See, this is where it's just not, when people look at it in comparison to other even philosophies, like you'll have the Eastern mythologies or religions that will look at evil and good being equal. And here's the part, it is not. Because when you invite Jesus into your heart and life, that resurrection power, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, begins to dwell in you and empowers you to live a new life. And he offers that to each and every one of us that are here today. He can change your life. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through 9. It says this, "So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them." Greetings. How freaky would that have been, right? Because now they're just finding out Jesus is alive. I mean, you talk about being a hot mess at that moment, all right? I mean, emotions are going, and then all of a sudden, you're running, and then you see Jesus. And Jesus is given just a simple, "Hey, what's up? How are you?" And you stopped in the tracks. And it's this wonderful moment. And they came to him. But I love their response. They see him. They fall down before him and they clasp his feet and worship him. So they ran from the tomb. They were running to tell the disciples. They ran into Jesus. And this is the perfect picture of what happened and what has happened to many of us in this room. Because here's the wonderful part, if we understand the power that can change our lives. Because what's so amazing is we run from things that are all about death. The things that bring death, the things that bring emptiness, the things that bring disappointment, the things that bring hopelessness, that bring sorrow, we begin to run from them. We run to the one who is the source of life, the author of life. And that's what we see at work even in this moment, is all of a sudden our Savior, he's alive. And when we run to him, the author of our life, who can change our life because he's alive, and his power to change our life can live within us. See, he's changed my life and he can change yours. The good news of Easter is we're not here playing games. The good news about Easter is we didn't do an Easter breakfast just because we like to eat. We don't have an Easter service just because it's a thing on the calendar. We celebrate Easter because our Savior's alive. And he can transform your life. He wants to change your life today. Are you into giving him the opportunity to change your life? If I could have the worship team come. See, we're here this weekend because we know this. The resurrection power can absolutely fundamentally change anyone's life. You might think, there is no way God gives a rip about me. I've done too much. If you knew my story, if you knew my thoughts, if you knew some of the things that I've already told God about in no uncertain four-letter terms, here's the amazing part, is that our God can change any life. Resurrection power can change your life. When we all desperately need change, change can happen. Can it change a person's life? Absolutely. Anyone who says to Jesus, anyone that opens their heart can receive. And I never get tired of watching this. It's one of the things that I loved as a missionary. It's one of the things I love as a pastor. Couldn't help but tell you, watching, still can go back to one of my school assemblies in a small town in Iowa. When the homecoming queen walked up to me and had told her She was the it girl in her school. The popular girl, had all the academic grades, was a great athlete, was a great artist, musician. She had it all. She had popularity. And yet what many people didn't know is she was cutting. And she walked up to me after that school assembly, tears down her face. She goes, because for some reason when I was speaking that day, I talked about cutting and it connected to her story. No one else knew about it other than her boyfriend. And she walks up and she goes, I feel like you came to my school today just for me. Thank you. And I said, really, I hope you come to our evening event tonight because there's more. Her name was Misty. She came to our evening event. And when we gave a gospel presentation, just like I gave you, the opportunity of what Jesus can do to transform a life, that evening, one of many students, Misty, gave her heart to Christ. She caught me before she left and tears now streaming with a smile. And she's going, now I know why you came here. She goes, I'm different. And I ended up following up because she was dealing with cutting. I followed up with the school counselors saying, how's Misty doing? And they're like, oh, she's amazing. She's sitting down with a number of the other students that are dealing with a lot of stuff in their life. It's like having a student guidance counselor. They said she is letting people know how to make a change. And it all goes back to Jesus. Can Jesus change a life? Yes. Can he change yours? Yes. But it takes one prayer to begin that process. That journey of faith begins in a prayer where you can begin to say, God, I commit, I give my life to you. Because here's the wonderful parts about Scripture. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in into him and eat with him and he with me. See, it's the door of your life. It's the door of your heart. And he says, if anyone would open it, I will come in. If you will open your heart today, here's the promise, is that you have a God that will step into your life and he will transform you. It's the fact of the matter is no one can open the door to your heart but you. You have to open it, but when you do, it's powerful. The Bible also says this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you will call out to him, it's a prayer away. It'll make the greatest decision in your life if you will just but pray and invite him in. Confess with your mouth that he is the Savior and Lord. When you do that, watch him transform. It'll change your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness today. We thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for the fact that your son died on a cross for us and paid the penalty for all of our sins, for all of our transgressions, all of it. For all of humanity, it was done once and for all. And the fact that you're alive, that you resurrected from the dead, it's the promise fulfilled. That you would do that same resurrection power and that Holy Spirit could transform us. It's all facts. Lord, I pray you speak to hearts this morning and let every person make a decision in their heart to give you a chance to live for you and watch you transform their life. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question this Easter Sunday, but if you're here today, and you just know things are not right in your relationship with God. I'm not asking if you're going to be a member of Calvary Church, but I am asking this, is do you know that if you were to die today, do you know if you'd go to heaven? Can you answer that question? And one of the wonderful confidences you can have is to walk away from this service this morning knowing that you have made the beginning of a relationship with him. Because when you pray, the promise is so true, he will transform your life. But you need to confess it with your heart and believe in your heart that he is the Lord and that God has raised him from the dead. So if you're here today, whether it's a first time or a redecision on your heart to rededicate yourself, if that's you, would you just look at me? I just want to look at you and pray with you if there's anyone. Is there anyone today? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. I want everyone to pray this prayer with me. If you mean this with your heart, here's the wonderful promise that you can have, is that he will do what we've just talked about. Heavenly Father, say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for bringing me here today to know of your love and what Jesus did for me. Forgive me for doing life my own way. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I open the door of my heart to you today. Transform me. Change me. In Jesus' name. Amen.